Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at www.starseedgems.com. Our guest tonight is Dr. P.M.H. Atwater, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Ash, what's with you, Bob, today?
Well, I'd ask how you were, but I know. I just hope you make it through the show. Between being sick and being in pain from your back, I think we'll be making a trip out to the emergency room after the show.
Well,
yeah, you do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so we just got back from our annual conference, and it was a wonderful experience. I think the attendees all had a good time. The presenters enjoyed it very much. You know, sometimes we overlook that. You know, we're thinking only in terms of the attendees, but I think the presenters enjoy it just as much because they get to mingle with their colleagues and learn a few things along the way.
Right, and they get to chat with the attendees too.
That's true.
There are some of our attendees are very interesting too. We appeal to that sort of a crowd. So.
Yeah, and there was quite a, you know, we tried to have a varied slate so people get a little taste. We don't go in depth into too much of the science on each one, but things were discussed such as near-death experiences and the deathbed visions and reincarnation and apparitions and ghosts and psi phenomena. What am I leaving out? Quite a bit. Phone calls from the dead.
Mediumship.
Yeah, so that was great. You know, there's a story in the newspaper. I love the way that, was it the newspaper? I mean, the article says.
No, it was on the internet, but the internet picked it up because it was broadcast on a radio station in Virginia Beach. But it seemed to me like it was bad journalism.
Yeah, well, the title, Mom Thinks Ghost is Living Inside Her Son.
I mean, I get it. They have to put titles up
right, to
draw people in to read the article or to click on the video. But the article then goes on with more and more nonsense. And never, never in the journalistic way do they contact anybody of authority to get the truth about what's going on with this kid.
Yeah, well, it really starts off where they, you would think they would recognize. It's a past life memory of a child, I think a four-year-old child, and he started talking about specifics of his past life, and the writer in the article mentions, is he running away from a past life? But then the thrust of the article is trying to make it scary. Instead of following up on
right, on
a reincarnation case, they make it seem like a ghost case. Right.
Well, a possession.
Possession, you know.
Yeah, the ghost is stuck in my child. How do I get it out?
Right, and they, it's for a TV show, right?
Right, and it's for a TV show, and the kid has already been filmed for this TV show.
Yeah, it's
that's why I'm saying this is just bad journalism.
Well, in typical TV, you know, so they go to the grave site, you know, they ask leading questions. But then you say they look at the kid and they asked him, oh, they show him photographs.
They show him photographs.
Are these your friends?
Yeah.
Instead of, do you recognize anybody, these photos? And then at the end, I see they quote apparently the boy's mother and said, I would like to get a psychic, maybe help us through and see what's going on. Is my house haunted? Is my child haunted? I don't know.
Yeah, now she's got the whole gamut of stuff going on there.
Well, you know, it's part of what we look to do if we can educate people about the evidence for the different things. I mean, if she was aware of the reincarnation work and the past life memory work and like 4 decades of such research, she might call one of the investigators, like Dr.
Right.
Tucker.
And she certainly wouldn't be going around saying, there's a ghost stuck in my child.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've talked about it before. It's a problem with any time you have TV producers and ratings involved, they're going to sensationalize everything. So,
well, I think that they had already done this. They had, you know, she had gone to the TV show with this thing. Apparently they put out some sort of call for this stuff. She responded, and she was dealing with TV people rather than professionals.
Mm. I know, I'll just mention that we have a Dr. Betty Kovac had started called the Visionary Explorers Group, and it started as a small group, but it's simply it's a forum online using
GoToMeeting,
and people can share and learn about these visionary experiences and, you know, out of body experiences and what they might mean, the implications, and our members are welcome to join. If you are interested in that, you can send us an email. I guess the best email to use would be events or
radio
at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and we will send you information on how you can join that group. I know the next one is on Saturday. I don't know if there's open.
Eastern.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any openings, but you send an email to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and we'll send you some information on that. Our tonight we're going to be talking about near death experiences with one of our one of the world's foremost researchers on that, Dr. Atwater. So stay tuned for a really interesting hour. Do you have any other closing thoughts on the conference?
Besides
the fact that it's going to be our last. It was our last.
And my closing thoughts are just to thank everybody, the volunteers, the wonderful people down in Durham, North Carolina, that helped us out, the Rhine Research Center that helped us out, our founder, Vicki Marks, who lives in North Carolina. You know, she really broke her bottom to make this a wonderful event, and it really was a wonderful event, and it was the coziest, most uplifting group of people that just all on the same page,
yeah.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful, very long week.
Yeah, very long. And Vicki, speaking of which, gave us new meaning to people seeing signs, because she literally put out 200 signs.
Right, right.
And people just kept calling, saying, I've seen a sign.
They were calling today, so she's going to have to go get them down.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to welcome Dr. Atwater, so stay with us. We'll talk to you in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at www.starseedgems.com. Bob?
And Dr. Atwater is a world authority on the near-death phenomenon, a subject she's been researching since 1978. She's the author of 15 books, with more coming, and the latest one being Dying to Know You, Proof of God in a Near-Death Experience. She's a frequent lecturer, teacher, a workshop leader around the world. Her books have been translated in over 12 languages, and she's appeared on numerous TV shows such as Larry King, Regis and Kathy Lee, Geraldo. And it's our great pleasure to welcome Dr. Atwater, and you can learn a lot more about her on our website, pmhatwater.com. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's fun to be here with both of you.
Well, we appreciate it, and I know you're always a terrific guest. And you're a perfect person to ask this, being an authority on the subject. But is the term near-death experience somewhat of a misnomer? You know, because actually, when you hear the term, people think, "Well, you didn't die," but actually, you did die. So wouldn't we be better off calling it a death experience instead of a near-death experience?
Well, you know, I don't want to argue that one because that's the phrase. that Raymond Moody gave us, and
right.
I think it's just as good as any other kind of phrase, because some of the experiencers were actually near death, some did die, maybe revived a day later in the morgue.
Right.
Some of them were simply brushed death. So by using the near-death experience, I think that sort of covers the genre, you know, that sort of gets everybody.
Yeah. And then your new book, Dying to Know You, you focus a great deal on the after effects that on near-death experiences, and you describe that for most people, including yourself, the return comes with an overriding sense of mission. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, what is that mission? I mean, are there common reports that you get describing a similar mission?
Well, over and over again,
yeah.
With children and adults, they come back saying or knowing they have a job to do, or sometimes they were told that. Sometimes the term mission is used. Most of the time it's a job, you have a job to do, and so that's why they're coming back, you know. They didn't do it all. There's more that they have to do. I know in my case, my mission was specific, that I was told in my third near-death experience, but with most of them, they come back knowing they have a job to do, but they don't know what that job is.
Right.
And I love kids, you know, the child experiencers. They're just so great. They just say, well, if you do what you feel led to do, if you do what's right in front of you, that's your mission. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do, what's in front of you. That's your mission. So,
right.
You know, kids are great,
yeah.
You know, in spelling that out for us.
So it's not... There isn't a degree of frustration among the experiencers because then they don't know what the job is. They just, you know, you figure they just keep going about what they're doing and the answer will come?
Well, you know, that's what the kids say.
Yeah.
But the adults, many of them are frustrated. I hear from some of them saying, you know, that's the one thing I really wish somebody would tell me. You know, I pray about it and what have you, and it's just not there. But they have this sense that if they just keep going, somehow that will happen.
Yeah.
And indeed it certainly does.
Mm.
You know, some people are really absolutely led. We've got this fellow, his name is Olaf. And he's in Sweden. He had a near-death experience as a child, and in that experience he was shown all the things that he was to invent, that he was to do, that he was to create, and so he wound up going to university so he could get a degree, and that would prove that he knew what he knew. His name
right.
is Olaf Sundin, and he has over 100 chemical patents to his name, and all of them were revealed to him in his near-death experience. So, you know, some people get biggies like that.
Yeah,
but for most people, you know, you just keep doing what you feel you ought to do, where you're led, where your interest is, and that's really your job.
Yeah. Well, there's a case with this Olaf where he had he retained a lot of that information. Isn't it true that a lot of experiences are shown a tremendous amount of information, but it's hard to recall all of them?
Yeah, they don't bring it back.
Yeah.
I was one of the few that was able to bring it back, and that's because I started writing about it as soon as I could.
Yeah.
And it took me years to find the words. But I did write it all. It's in my little bitty book. I Died Three Times in 1977, the complete story.
Right.
It's on Amazon.com, so if people want to know the full thing that I saw, It's all there. The words are all there. But a lot of people, you know that they were told the reasons for war, the reasons that Uncle George lost his arm or Aunt Tilly had a miscarriage. They're given all the reasons, and then they come back, and they're so frustrated because they can't remember what those reasons were.
Yeah.
All they remember is that there was a reason, and they take great comfort in that, knowing that it wasn't happenstance, that we're not all trying to murder each other, that there really are reasons behind what people do.
I'm fascinated by so many experiences describing this brilliant light, you know, but it's more than a light. It's a light that, as you're right, it seems to know you and can communicate with you. So do people interpret this light differently?
Well, let's look at this business about God.
Yeah.
You know, 90 to 95% come back knowing there's a God, that God's no fairy tale, that God is no mismatch or, you know, we didn't dream him up. There really is a God. And they, most of them equate that God with the light. Very few equate that God with any kind of he or him or father. That is to say, the God on the other side of death doesn't have a gender. In fact, the God on the other side of death isn't really like the God of Holy Writ. Rather, the God on the other side is bigger and more powerful than we could even imagine. And so in talking about the light, many experiencers claim that's God, and or that's what God is like, that light. And adults will describe that light as brighter than 10,000 suns. You know, when you picture that, when you sort of hang on those words, you realize we're talking voltage here. You know, this is not
right.
Imagery. This is voltage.
Absolutely. And you talk a little bit about that voltage in the book when you're describing what it's like when you go into this other realm. It's we're beings of energy that give off this voltage. And maybe that's a reason why people, we have all these reports of these after-death communications involving energy and manipulations of electric appliances. You know, there might be a connection between the two.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the other side is not a fairy tale. It's not a dream. You're entering realms various frequencies of vibration, vibratory realms. You know, when we're talking about heaven and hell, we're talking about various realms and dimensions of energies. It's sort of like a layer cake. I would describe it as a layer cake on the other side. I counted maybe about 12 heavens, 12 hells. The idea of hell being that very dense and heavy energy, sometimes dark, and the idea of heaven being that very refined, uplifting kind of energy, very fast, more of a faster frequency, more pleasant. But you know, one of the things I noticed in this layer cake of different kinds of levels. Well, there's a couple of things I noticed. One of them is when we die, we seem to go to wherever it is we resonate. And if you're talking about resonation, you're talking about your core you, who you are at your core, that energy, that you know, the you that you really are. And that's where you go. you go to wherever it is, you match energy-wise. So again, we're talking energy here. But the thing I found with this heaven and hell construct, there seems to be no bottom and no top. It's as if wherever you go, wherever you wind up, wherever you resonate, you don't have to stay there. There's movement, and it depends upon you waking up, your choices, your ideas, where you're comfortable, where you want to be, what's on, the core of you, and what attracts you or repels you. And, when I really studied that, when I really got into this business of heaven and hell, I was just so captured by how fair it is, how absolutely fair that God would have something like this that really, truly offers everyone, anyone, an avenue of growth and learning.
So when we, gravitate, for lack of a better term, towards this particular layer, so I guess we tend to then be involved with other people who resonate at the same, like, vibratory level.
Absolutely.
You mentioned in the book that the soul, our soul, carries the original blueprint to our true identity. So is that our purpose, to learn what the soul is telling us?
Well, maybe. Yeah. I rather think that the soul is the true us. That's our higher self, our higher being, our soul, our essence. It's who we are. And it carries that imprint of who we are. So as we are moving about in the physical body, living our lives, it's our soul that keeps us on track, if we let it. If you get so busy, worried, and, if you're into a lot of booze and cigarettes and all this other kind of stuff, and you're not paying any attention to your life, then you're not going to hear your soul. You're not going to be plugged in, if you will. If you're worried all the time, or if you're, a hard-driving businessman and all you think of is money, then, again, you're going to miss that call, the call of the soul.
Mm.
I sort of hearken to Walt Disney and that little Jiminy Cricket that's on your shoulder and saying, you shouldn't do that.
Right. So some of us are better at listening than others, apparently.
Well, that's very true. Yeah. I truly feel that's one of the purposes of prayer and meditation. That sort of keeps us more sensitive to these other feelings and knowings, what is deeply within us, but also kind of keeps us on track.
Right. So another thing that you write about is how experiencers describe the universe as being alive and breathing. That's a wonderful concept. Was this the same experience that you had?
Oh, sure, and most people do. This sense of breathing, you hear that over and over again with children and with adults. It's as if the whole universe, all of creation, is breathing. One of the things that the kids say is that it's not, the breathing is not like your nose does, but it's still, they recognize it as breath. And in my own experience, one of the things that I saw and came to know was that the only real movement on the other side that was a really valid movement was expansion and contraction, as if the whole universe universe was breathing. So that, you know, there's something to this business about breath that we really need to pay attention to, I think, if we're going to understand creation.
Yeah. Well, I guess the breathing, I guess you can also say it's pulsating. So you become part of the pulsating universe.
Yeah, well, it's undulating as if wave-like, sometimes flashing, sometimes sparkling, as if a power grid or a circuit board of energetic light particles.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to this voltage stuff again.
Right.
But the other side is really full of incredible energy that sparks, that winks, that moves, that breathes, that undulates.
Right, and you write also, which explain it goes along with this, that we're larger outside the body than inside. So which makes sense. You know, inside we're constrained. We're outside.
Well, in my own case, I had to shrink in order to fit back into my body, because definitely I was bigger outside than inside, and most others note that same difference, that outside your body, you are really quite large. You're very expanded. There's a lot of things you can do that you can't do while you're still in your body.
Hmm. I'll tell you the best quote in your book.
Okay.
If you expect to die when you die, you'll be disappointed. I love that.
Well, it's the truth.
Do you think that those who are able to recognize while they're still in the physical, you know, that life doesn't end, are better prepared when they physically die?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The loss of the fear of death is it's almost like 97% of the people when they come back, maybe more. That's one of the things that most near-death experiencers lose is any fear of death. The idea that death is like a doorway you walk through, or it's simple to die. Any pain to be felt is experienced before you die, but death itself is painless. You just slip right through. And I haven't heard anybody describe it any differently than that.
Yeah. Do some of us, you know, have this subconscious awareness about our impending death?
Oh yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially that one case of those two high school girls. You know, that was that was so. I think it's still important for everyone to hear, because when we're talking about mission, we often think in terms of, you know, we're going to save the world, or we're going to discover a new dance step, or all these things we conjure up in our mind. But one of the things that really happened that I was in on was these two high school girls. They were about to graduate. And one of them, the year before, had this dream or vision, I guess, very vivid, that she was going to die violently before she graduated from high school. And she told her parents about it, and they were very concerned, as you can imagine, kind of panic-stricken. And they took her to a psychiatrist. He tested her out and went back to the parents and said, there's nothing wrong with this kid. She's just fine. But she kept on with that phrase. She absolutely knew she was going to die before she graduated from high school. Well, a couple of days before graduation, she was in a car with her best friend, her best girlfriend. They were both going to graduating together. And the other girl was at the wheel of the car. They were, you know, stopped at an intersection. The light changed. They took off, and another car smashes right into the front of their car. Both girls are killed on impact. And this was a very, very big deal. I mean, these girls were very popular in school. I can remember when this hit the newspapers. It just tore everyone apart. Well, a year later, both of these mothers, who were not really good friends or anything, it was the daughters who were good friends, not mom and dad, but these two moms on the same night, get this, on the same night, had their dead daughter come back in a dream or a vision and explain to the mother why they died. So each of these mothers, unbeknownst to the other, knew the same person I knew, Johnny Lister. He was an astrologer. They went to him different times and told them about their vision. And Johnny called me up on the phone. He says, oh, my, you know, I've got to do something about this. What do you think I ought to do? And I said, Johnny, get a hold of the psychiatrist. The one mom and dad went to, or had their daughter sent to, and tell the psychiatrist what's going on and see if he won't call both parents together to come to him and talk this out. Well, by golly, the psychiatrist said, yes, he'd do that. So he called both parents. They both came to visit him, and each mother then told exactly what it was she saw and heard from her daughter. And here's what it was. The one daughter who had had the vision the year before, she had made a deal with the other, on the other side, there on the soul level. She'd made a deal with the other soul, because that soul had never died a violent death. And that soul was very worried about having to do it. And so the one soul said she would be glad to be born into this life so she could help the other one.
Yeah.
But you know?
That story encompasses many of the concepts that we're just talking about. It's incredible. We do have to go to a break. We're talking with Dr. P.M.H. Atwater. The latest book is Dying to Know You, Proof of God in a Near-Death Experience. Dr. Atwater's website is pmhatwater.com. And stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. P.M.H. Atwater. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and you can find them on the web at starseedgems.com. If you are business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Did you know that you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization, without sending us a single pretty penny? When shopping on the Internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com, and instead, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's a link on every page of our website. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? Not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Do it now. Sign up with iGive. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the Internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like L.L. Bean, Red Envelope, 1-800-Flowers, Fandango, Home Depot, and J.Crew. And how about The Body Shop or Travelocity? So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2014 is up. You can win up to 5 one-hour phone readings with one of our certified mediums. The mediums in this raffle are Lynn LeClaire, Joanne Gerber, Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, and Nancy Marlowe. It's only $5 a chance. Go to the website at Forever Family Foundation and enter now. And our Holidays Pass this year is in 5 locations: Natick, Massachusetts, Bethel, Connecticut, Plainview, New York, Compton Lakes, New Jersey, and Fort Myers, Florida. Visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all our event links, information, and registration. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. P.M.H. Atwater. We're talking about her latest book, Dying to Know You. And, you know, probably the most important chapter in your book was when you talk about the big picture. After all, we all want to know what the big picture is. So can we talk a little bit about that and the big picture and a collective message that you've uncovered from your research?
Well, both adults and children have their own version. And the adults certainly paint this picture of an expanded view of life and that life goes on and on. Children are a little bit more specific in the way of families and sometimes you can pick your families and sometimes you just get pushed in because it's your turn and you get brownie points. Mm. So, you know, kids are wonderful that way. What I really want to emphasize here is the book itself is filled with the voices of the experiencers themselves. In other words, this is the only book yet written that is from the collective, in the collective's voice, talking about the collective. This is not a research book. This is not a personal story book. This is not an opinion piece or a religious piece or a spiritual piece. This is the people talking about what they saw and felt and heard. So you're getting the direct stuff. You're not getting any interpretation of any kind. The people are speaking for themselves. And I think that's what captures you so much when we're talking about the big picture and you know, they try to be as specific as they can, but they're using their words. And all I did was sum up the many. You know, this is nearly 4,000 people talking, children and adults. And to me, they represent the millions and millions and millions of people who will never write a book, they'll never be on stage, probably never be heard, and yet here is their voice, and it's direct.
Yeah, and as you say, the message, the collective message, speaks with the voice of thunder, so it's quite powerful.
Oh, it is indeed, and I just feel so humbled to have been able to bring this kind of book out. It's very small, you know. It doesn't take anybody long to read it at all, but it's very, very special because it just gets right to the point.
In the book, you make some interesting observations about the heart and how the heart actually outproduces the brain in terms of electrical and magnetic energy. Some people might find that concept, you know, hard to believe, but so I guess, you know, the implications are that we might connect with one another and with the universe as much with our heart as we do with our mind.
Well, that's all science. That has nothing to do with anybody's opinion.
Right.
That's all science. And do you know, the heart will react to what is going to happen before it does. Your heart literally is your first responder. Mm. And it's the heart that alerts the brain, not the other way around. It's the heart that picks it up first before it occurs, sometimes a few seconds before, sometimes several minutes before. But we know this also scientifically.
And
you find over and over and over again with both adults and children afterward, they have a certain comfort level with anything future. That this idea of future awareness or precognition or all these kind of stuff, it's just that sense of future. And most of them have it.
Yeah. You also talk about a near-death-like experience. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. The near-death experience is not any kind of anomaly. Rather, it's part of the larger genre of transformations of consciousness. And you can tell by the after effects. The key is intensity. If it's intense enough, all of these different experiences, whether it's a Kundalini breakthrough, a shamanic vision quest, baptism of the Holy Spirit, a numinous experience, your mountaintop experiences, all of these will engender the same or similar after effects. So when we're talking about near-death experiences, we also need to recognize, I believe, near-death-like experiences. Let me give you just a quick sample here. Here's this woman, it's a Sunday morning, and she's out on her front porch. It's very, very early in the morning, and she's bending over to pick up the Sunday newspaper, and of course those are very large, and as she's writing herself, she looks up into the rising sun and enters the sun and has a full-blown near-death experience with all of the after effects. And that's all she did, was pick up a newspaper and look into the rising sun. Another one, this is an African-Canadian. He's in his apartment. He's on the sofa. He goes over to either open or close the windows. I can't remember which. And then he turns and goes back to his sofa. And in the process of walking back to the sofa, he walks right into a full-blown near-death experience. This is consciously. He walks right into one and has all of the after effects. And in his, he was shown the way to interpret the Bible. This is a man who'd never read the Bible, wasn't interested in the Bible. He was shown how to interpret the Bible, and his job was to instruct ministers. So he went to as many seminaries as he could before he passed away.
So people don't have to be clinically dead to have an experience.
No, they do not. They do not.
Right. So I know, unfortunately, we're running out of time. Do you have any closing thoughts on what people...
Yes, I certainly do. The four words that most experiencers say after their experience, four words, always there is life. If you look at that, that means there's no before life, there's no present life, there's no afterlife. That means literally that you have always existed in some form, in some space. You always were, you're alive now, you always will be alive. It literally means eternity is our home.
Well, that's beautiful, and we can't top that. We have been talking with Dr. P.M.H. Atwater. The book, Dying to Know You, Proof of God and a Near-Death Experience, there is a link on our website, an Amazon link. It's a terrific book. We have that and other Dr. Atwater's books on the site. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Bye for now, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Tracy Bray, Donna Mello, Kimberly Savedra, Rachel Scandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pieschka, Julie Beischel, Barbara Patillo, Ann Hutchinson, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Mark Barron, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, James Rafferty, Arthur and Bernice Goforth, Andrea Richard, Brian Karen, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Kish, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafada, Wendy Lipovor, Russell, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.